We're going to talk a lot about the future, as I said earlier, and I don't know about you, I don't know if you can relate to this, but I am often thinking about the future, all right? In the winter, I'm looking forward to spring, right? When I'm working, I'm looking forward to the weekend, all right? And in a church transition, like we've been in for the past several months, I'm looking forward to the possibility of us coming together. I'm always thinking about the future. I think we all do that to a certain extent. I think we all have a tendency to look forward to vacation, right? Or a new job or a new promotion. Some of us are looking forward to a new relationship, right? Or a growing family. We've all got this tendency to focus on the future. And I think that can be good or bad, right? It can be good in that focusing on the future can motivate us to live in the present, right? If you know the weekend's coming, then you can press on through those just grueling hours on Thursday and Friday, right? So having a focus on the future can be a good thing, right? At the same time, focus on the future can also be bad. For one, we can miss out on the present if we're too focused on the future. Or sometimes we're so focused on things in the future that may or may not happen, right? So we put our hope in false goals or false expectations of the future. Or even if what we hope to happen does happen, sometimes it doesn't fulfill us. Right? We are so longing for this future thing, and we think, if only I can get to this place, and you get there, and you're like, it's not all I thought that it would be. For example, I was talking with a friend about spring, and I was like, aren't you so excited about the spring weather? It's getting warmer. And she said, no, but allergies are awful. Right? I'm like, yeah, that's true. You know, like in the winter, you're like, oh, spring, and you forget about the allergies, right? We look forward to the things in the future, but oftentimes it's not quite as good as we think it is. Y'all, here's the truth. God wants us to be focused on the future, but he wants us to be focused on his future, on the right kind of future. You see, we get excited about things like changing weather, changing job, changing relationships, changing family. And God looks at all of those things that we get our hopes, and he's like, yo, is that small? Those are small things. I've got something so much better for you, God says. God wants us to be focused on the right kind of future, the true future that he has promised for us. God looks at us and says, look, what I've got for you is guaranteed, and it will not disappoint you. So stay focused on the future, but the right kind of future. That's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk about what God has in store for us in the future. And my hope is that as we talk about the future promises that God has for us, that you and I would be strengthened and emboldened and encouraged for the present moment. Because I know some of you are tired right now. Sometimes life feels like a fight. Sometimes it feels like a fight that we're losing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes it's like, I just getting out of bed is like a heroic feat of strength. And I know some of you feel like that right now. But if you can spend time right now meditating, getting your mind around the future promises of God, the future that is so beautiful that he has in store for us, that he has promised for us, if you can get your mind around that, then what I believe will happen, what I know will happen, if we can meditate on the promise of God in faith, then our hearts are lifted up. And we become emboldened. Amen. To be able to take the next step. So we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8. This is such an amazing passage, guys. Romans 8, verses 18 through 30. I'm going to read this and then we're going to break it down and talk about what it says and what it says and how it relates to our lives. So please follow along as I read. Starting in verse 18. For I consider that the present suffering, the suffering of this present time, are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope. In hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together as in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Amen. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. So this passage is all about waiting for God's future promises. It's about waiting on God. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about waiting. We're going to talk about why we wait. We're going to talk about what we're waiting for. And we're going to talk about how we wait. Why we wait, what we're waiting for, and how we wait. So first of all, let's talk about why we wait. Y'all, the answer is simple. Why do we wait? That's the question. The answer is simple. Because God's got some great things in store for us in the future. In the future. But now, y'all, we're going to suffer. Future glory, present suffering. Now, this life is not all suffering. There's some really great things in this life. Some great things, some great blessings that we can rejoice in. But intermingled, mixed up with the blessings, there's always going to be sorrow and pain. Some of y'all are suffering right now. As you're sitting in these pews, you're suffering. Some of you got anxiety about your health, about finances, about the news, stuff that's going on in Russia and Ukraine. About your job, about your family. Some of y'all are suffering right now. Some of y'all are suffering, sitting here in pain. You're persevering, right? Just sitting here in the pew is painful for you. Something's wrong with your body and you're hurting. Some of y'all are dealing with grief, emotional pain. And it's not as if those categories touch it, right? Like the pain that we experience in this life, it is varied. Now, there's some Christian preachers who promise you that if you're a Christian, you won't experience pain, or at least you won't experience much of it in this life. Now, that's a lie. That is a lie. Jesus himself said, in this world, you're gonna have trouble. Like Peter wants us to expect it. He's like, don't be surprised when trouble comes. As if something strange is happening. No, like that's normal. And this passage, verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, he talks about the sufferings that we are presently dealing with right now. But he says those sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Paul's saying, I know y'all are hurting right now, but something better is coming. Paul says, y'all, the reality is ever since Adam sinned, everyone, everywhere has been in some kind of pain. Ever since the beginning of Adam's sin. In fact, this is crazy, the creation itself in ways is groaning. Like not just us, but the creation itself is groaning. Right? Verse 18, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation itself was subjected to futility. You think you've been waiting for a while? groaning for a while. Since the beginning of Adam's sin, it's been waiting. Now, when God first created the world, it was good. Have you ever had a day or a morning or afternoon, just some time of the day, where you just feel like everything's flowing well? Like, not often, right? Not often, but every once in a while, like we just get these times like, oh man, just, everything seems to be going your way. Not often, right? But every once in a while. You know, when God first created the world, everything was going the right way. Everything was flowing. It was perfect. It was all good. But since sin entered the world, you can kind of turn that on its head. Nothing is all good. Since Adam's sin, everything has been corrupted. Everything's flowing in the wrong way. It's the opposite of harmony. It says futility, right? Like futility is a sense that no matter how hard you try, you just can't get ahead. Creation's that way. There's something broken at the core of creation. Paul says here, it's in bondage, it's trapped, it's bound in its present state of corruption and decay and brokenness. All of creation is trapped. In fact, it's as if creation itself is groaning as in the pains of childbirth. Now, I've heard that that's about as bad as it gets, pains of childbirth, physical pain, right? And so Paul chooses to use this ultimate comparison of physical pain, saying that's how creation is groaning. Something is broken. And of course, not just creation, right? Together with creation, we ourselves groan inwardly, Paul says in verse 23, as we're waiting. As we're waiting. So, why do we wait? That's the question. Why do we wait? We wait because we have this future glory that is promised and guaranteed by God. But in the present moment, we have these sufferings. So, y'all, the option is kind of like this. The option is, with these present sufferings, we become so overwhelmed and weighed down and bitter and angry and broken with these present sufferings. That's one option. Or the other option is, in the midst of all of those pain, we focus on the future that God has in store for us, and we're lifted up in our hearts with hope. I don't know about you, but I'd like to choose the second. Focusing on the future so that instead of bitterness, I'm filled with hope. Y'all, the Bible is jam-packed with the promises of God. Why? Why is the Bible jam-packed with God's promises? Because God knew that we would need them. He knew that we would need them. That's why we focus on the future. Because if we do not, we get weighed down by the sufferings of this present world. But let's look at the good stuff. What are we waiting for, right? We need, the reason why we focus on the future is because of the present sufferings. But what is this glory to come? Verse 18, I consider that these sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed for us. Y'all, the reality is, Paul is trying to tell us that the heavy glory that is to come one day will overpower and overweigh the present sufferings of this world. So Paul is saying to you, God is saying to you today, however heavy your suffering feels right now, just take a moment to kind of like quantify that in your mind. You got some kind of suffering, I know. How heavy does it feel right now? Depending upon what you're going through, it can feel really, really heavy. Crushing even. So God is telling you today, have some kind of concept of how heavy suffering can get for you. Okay. So you got that feeling in your mind of how heavy suffering can be. What God wants to tell you is that the weight of this future glory, it is so much greater that the heaviness of this present suffering feels light in comparison.
There is an eternal weight of glory, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The future glory, the promises, what God has in store for us in the future, it's heavy. Have you ever lifted up a really old piece, an antique piece of wooden furniture? Right? Like not IKEA furniture, no light wood, no particle board, like the old good stuff, right? Yeah, Ted's back there. Yeah. Yeah, go see Ted. He'll hook you up. But you know, heavy pieces of furniture, like there's something about it. When you pick it up, when you lift it, you're like, wow, this is quality. This is solid. This is right. This is true. This has substance to it. I thought this was a little heavier than it would be. But y'all, what God is trying to communicate to us is that there is a qualitative heaviness, solidness to the future glory that He's promising. He wants us to get excited about what's to come. He doesn't want us just to know in our minds, yeah, I got some good stuff in store for you. No. Like, as Paul talks about what's coming in the future, when God tells His children, us today, about what's coming in the future, He wants us to get excited about it. What is this glory? Verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility, in hope that the creation itself will be set free. Set free. Now, one of the aspects of this future glory, if we're going to break it down and try to get you excited about it, is freedom. One day, you and I, if you are in Christ, will be set free from every pain and suffering and frustration and injustice and anxiety that you experience in this present day. That's a promise. One day, God promises us that every single bad thing that holds us down and weighs us down, one day we're going to be set free from that. Every personal struggle, mental illness, broken relationships, shame, and regret, one day you're going to be free completely. Every systemic injustice, white supremacy, political corruption, every societal wrong will one day be broken and we will be set free. And on that day, there will be complete justice as God reigns on His throne. Freedom. The NIV says it is a glorious freedom. This is what we're waiting for. This is what gives us hope. This is what enables us to press on, to not give up in the weight of the present suffering. The future glory is so much better than that. Focus on the future and in hope, press on. What is this glory that we're waiting for? It's freedom, right? But it's also redemption. Verse 13, not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Now, one of the things that is true about this future glory that we're waiting for is that our bodies will be redeemed. One day we will cast aside these broken, painful bodies that don't work so well. And one day, we will have perfect bodies. Y'all, one of the blessings of the coming age is that we will receive new bodies. They will be bodies. We're not just floating around like spirits in the clouds. Like, that's not the picture that heaven has for us. We will have bodies. They'll just be better bodies. They're spiritual bodies. Like, not spiritual as opposed to material. Spiritual as is perfect, as better than what we have right now. Spiritual bodies, unable to decay. Unable to get hurt, unable to get cancer, unable to get heart disease. One day we will have perfect bodies and you will never have to worry about what the doctor is going to say to you. One day, this will happen. This is the future glory that we're waiting for. One day, you will get to fully appreciate your adoption as sons and daughters in the family of God. Y'all, one of the greatest blessings of the gospel is that you and I, despite our sin, are welcomed into God's family with open arms. And whatever your relationship with your earthly family is like, it's good or bad, y'all, your heavenly Father is so much better. So much better. He's perfect and he sees you. He really sees you. He doesn't minimize or ignore or marginalize you. He sees you, and when he sees you, his heart fills with joy and pride because he loves you. He sees you. He loves you with a love that you cannot fathom. This is the Father. One day, you'll be able to fully appreciate this. Don't get me wrong. If you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, then today you are already adopted into the family. So you get to hear me. You get to hear the Bible tell you about all these blessings. But your mind just can't fully comprehend that yet. But one day, when you're face to face with Jesus, the fullness of these blessings of having a family and a Father who loves you, they will wash over you like a flood. This is what we look forward to. The future glory that we're to be focused on. Of course, we can keep going on, right? Jeremiah 32 that we read earlier says, God will bring us home and there we will dwell in safety. Safety. We'll be secure there. We'll be safe. We'll be protected forever. No abuse, no oppression, no discrimination. Be safe and secure. And in that moment, our heart will only be for God. Y'all, you know that means we won't sin in heaven. Like, we talk a lot about how there will be no pain in heaven. But have you spent time thinking about there's not going to be any sin in heaven? And that means people won't sin against you. And that means you won't struggle with sin. Because if you're honest, even as a Christian, this is your life struggling against the sin that still indwells in you. But guess what? In heaven, you will not struggle any longer. No bitterness. No anger. No struggling to forgive. No struggling with lust. No struggling with pride. You're holy and you love God. Y'all, this is what we're waiting for. One day we will come home. So lastly, let's talk about how we wait. Why do we wait? Because there's present sufferings. What are we waiting for? The future glory. This weight of glory that God has prepared for us. But how? Well, first of all, you got to wait in the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Y'all, the reality is that in this life, on this journey, we do suffer. And so you need to be reminded that if you are in Christ, you're not alone. You're never alone. Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the omnipotent living God inside of you. You're never alone. It's not like God gives us instructions as his children and says, all right, good luck. I'll see you when you get to heaven, right? I mean, he could do that. He could say, I gave you my law, right? So get to work and I'll check in with you when you get to heaven. He doesn't do that. He says, here's my law. Here's my gospel to encourage you and to draw you in. And oh, by the way, my Spirit will never leave you. So as you fight day after day after day to fight the good fight. As you fight to honor the Lord, to live a life that is pleasing to Him, as you fight day after day, the Holy Spirit is inside of you, helping you take the next step. So how do you wait? How do you press on in the midst of the suffering? Yeah, future glory, but what do we do now? How do we wait? You wait in the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, you wait with the confidence of God's work in you. Now, Philippians 1:6 says this, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Y'all, if you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus Christ, then God has already started a work in you, and he is not done. He's not done. Yeah, I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've started a project and I didn't complete it. Can I get an amen? Has that ever happened to you? Yes. Right? Sometimes we start things and we don't get finished, right? Maybe we realize we're in over our head. It's a hopeless project. God never looks at you and says, "That's a hopeless project." He never looks at you that way. And he doesn't get distracted. Right? I get started on something and I'm moving on to the next thing. I got a little ADD. God doesn't do that. He started a work in you and he will carry it on to completion. So while you're waiting in the midst of the suffering, wait with hope, not only that his Spirit is present in you, but that he is not done with you. The reality is this. This is the gospel. If you confess that you are a sinner, that you have sinned against God, and you believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, lived the perfect life that you and I cannot live, and if you believe that he died a sacrificial death on the cross that you and I deserve, it should have been us on the cross. But in God's great love, he sent Jesus to do it for us. If you believe in him, then you're forgiven. You're forgiven. There is no condemnation, Romans 8 says. If you believe, then you're forgiven and welcomed in to the family. And God, if you're a Christian, is not through with you. Yeah, I'll look at verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now many of us love that verse so much that we forget the rest of the passage. Now, that's a great verse. Don't get me wrong. Verse 28, the thought that God works all things together for good, which means every circumstance that is in your life is there for a reason. God has a plan to use even the painful circumstances for good. Y'all, that can be immensely encouraging. Amen. And that can keep us going, right? But it gets better than that. It's even more than that, right? Look at the rest of the passage. God has started a work in you and he will carry it to completion. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Y'all, God is not done with you. He's not done with me. If you're a Christian, then you have been called by God, chosen by God. If you're someone who struggles to believe that you've got value inside of yourself, hear the truth that God has picked you. He's called you. He sees you. And he brings you to himself. If you're a Christian, then God has called you. He foreknew you, this passage says. Before one blade of grass was created, you were in the mind of God. And he was thinking of you with love. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. God chose you, he knew you, and he looked at you because of Jesus' sacrifice. If you're a Christian, that he looks at you now despite all of your sin, despite all of your shame, despite all of your regrets. He looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he sees you as perfect. He declares you as righteous because of Jesus Christ. But not only that, he's still not done. He's still not done. He declares you as perfect. But it's not enough for him just to say, okay, legally, my people are going to be perfect so they can come into heaven. He goes beyond that. He says, also, I am actually changing them. I am actually changing their hearts. I am growing them. I am helping them to repent of their sin. I'm helping them to love me more. I'm helping them to actually become more and more like Jesus Christ. He's not done with you. How do you wait? You wait with confidence, knowing that the Spirit is inside of you, that God's not done with you. And lastly, we wait patiently. Verse 24, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope in what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Y'all, waiting is hard. It's hard. We feel like we don't currently have something we want or we need. Waiting is hard. We're so eager to get the finish line. So God looks at us and he says, hey, trust me. Look at me. Trust me. There's something good for you that's in store. I'm calling you to wait. Wait patiently. So don't give up, God says. Don't lose heart. I am with you. I will not let you down. Let's wait. Focused on the future. Not just our goals in our life, not just our goals in our church, do we merge or not? No, we got something much better to be focused on. The eternal weight of glory that God has in store for us. Let's pray.